before the hour, you are back on the Mike Allen Show here on Real Life Radio. Pleased to have as my next Florida guest, Chelsea Zimmerman. You can check out her work at reflectionsofaparalytic.com. She's also the editor of Catholic Lane, an excellent Catholic blog, but she blogs on her own on reflectionsofaparalytic.com. And when she's not cute baby blogging pictures of her nephew, she's blogging on bioethical issues primarily, and also has BioTalk, an online web series as well. Chelsea, good morning.
Good morning.
And showing your dedication, being with us an hour earlier in Central Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do. It's what I do, Mike, you know.
Offer it up. It is Lent, after all.
Exactly. I'm starting Lent off right.
And Chelsea deserves credit for not complaining about the fact that she was bumped twice, that last week we were supposed to have her on and pledge donation drive kicked in, and then I was going to have her on Tuesday, and then the snowmageddon came here in the Lexington area, but I did trudge up a hill with my car stuck in the snow just so you could be on the air this morning, Chelsea. So
I appreciate that.
No problem at all. We got a great Florida Canadian. I'm not going to bring up the Florida Kentucky game from a couple weeks ago. We just let that, pass uncommented.
Yeah, the entire Florida basketball season this year can pass uncommented, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, you got three straight Elite Eights and a Final Four trip, so you can have an off year. It's okay.
We're rebuilding. I hope.
Yeah. One thing you're not taking an off year on is your blogging, which is always excellent and very informative. And just perusing your site and things that we've kind of talked about. One is this trend in Great Britain, recent decision that was made there on this whole issue of three-parent embryos. Maybe remind our listeners of what this is about and what's at stake.
This has been something that's been expected for maybe 2 years or so. They've been looking at it, and about 2 weeks ago, the House of Commons voted to essentially make Britain the first country in the world to offer three-parent fertility treatments. And another vote is required in the House of Lords, but according to the BBC, if everything goes ahead, then the first such baby could be born next year. This is a truly historic decision that could have very lasting consequences. And it's especially important for us here in America, where the FDA has been considering whether to allow the practice or not. They basically put their decision on hold last year, but they're still looking at it, and they're still being heavily pressured by scientists to allow it.
And you said, I think, in your piece that there are basically two different ways that they can engineer these genetically modified embryos.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
The first one, which is being done in the UK currently, is called pronuclear transfer, and it just swaps the DNA between two fertilized human eggs or embryos, intentionally destroying multiple embryos in the process. And the reason they need to do that, the purpose for this at the moment is to help families avoid passing on mitochondrial disease, which is passed on by the mother. So it's the mother has a bad egg, essentially, and so they have to use donor eggs. So that's one way of doing it, is to swap the DNA between the two embryos. And the second way, which has been done here in the United States, is called maternal spindle transfer. And this swaps the material between the mother's egg and the donor egg before fertilization. So those are the two ways to do it, and they're trying to fool people now, much like they did with just regular cloning. Now they're calling it mitochondria donation or mitochondria replacement. Really these techniques are more like cloning than anything else.
They're taking place in a laboratory in a petri dish, and so forth.
Yes, and not only that, not only is it's IVF. It's creating life in a petri dish and outside of the Marital Act. But also these embryos are, this is germline modification that's going to be inherited by future generations. And we have no idea what kind of effect this will have on the children it produces and their children and their children's children and their children's children's children after that.
And we're doing that without their consent.
Exactly. Exactly. This is genetic modification on future generations without their consent. And it's something the church is, you know, again, obviously the church is opposed to it because it's IVF and it's artificial creation of human life. But, you know, in Dignitas Personae, you know, it says it's not morally permissible to act in a way that may cause possible harm to the resulting progeny. So, which is this germline modification.
Yeah, one of the things, you know, something that I've had on my mind a lot here lately is that really every sin in our experience is the pursuit of a good end via an immoral means, right? I mean, that's, you go all the way back to the garden. The fruit itself was good, but it just wasn't for them. And so, you know, having a good end can never justify an intrinsically immoral means. And in so many of these bioethical issues, mm-hmm. you know, there's always some value out there, you know, the value of children or not passing on disease or infertility that's held out there as this great good. And then all of a sudden it becomes any means necessary to get there. And right. It's just the importance of that fundamental Catholic principle that the ends can never justify the means.
No, they can't. And we do have to look at, you know, where this is going to lead in the future. And what's going to happen? I mean, the slippery slopes of these things are very real. And even one of the things this is going to allow, this is going to basically open the door to full-scale human cloning. And that's really what these scientists are after. And
it's interesting. You know, the church has a pretty good track record. You know, and it's always cast as the finger-wagging scold. You know, prophet of gloom, but the church has a pretty good track record of predicting mm-hmm. and seeing down the road to where certain ideas logically lead.
Exactly. And you know, the rest of the world mostly, you know, we kind of have blinders on for, like you said, the good things that we want to do and, you know, the immediate cures or the immediate, you know, good things that this stuff can do. It's like we need to take a step back and we need to look at where this will logically lead. And that's one of those places it's going to lead. I mean, we're going to see human cloning here. Oh, we already have seen human cloning, I mean, in embryos. But, you know, before this legislation in the UK, researchers used to have to destroy cloned embryos. But if this passes, they won't technically have to do that.
Well, let's fly across the pond from Great Britain over to Canada, our neighbors to the north, because they've had a troubling development there with this issue of physician-assisted suicide.
Yeah, and this has been going on since 2011. It's been in the court, and just a couple of weeks ago, actually the same week that this three-parent embryo thing came out, Canada's Supreme Court struck down their law against assisted suicide. And this is huge for Canada, for the United States especially. I mean, where we've already got a couple of states that allow it, and we've got a good handful of states working on it right now. So, you know, this is right in our back door, and we'll give these states, you know, more incentive to pass those laws. And what they've allowed in Canada is more like what they have in, you know, Belgium and places where they have very liberal assisted suicide laws, in that it's not technically limited to those with terminal illnesses, which is what most people would consider assisted suicide for. I mean, it allows if for anyone who has a, quote, grievous and irremediable medical condition, including an illness or disease or a disability that causes enduring suffering that is intolerable to the individual in the circumstances of his or her condition. So, I mean, this is huge and very, very bad for Canada right now.
We're talking with Chelsea Zimmerman, who blogs at reflectionsofaparalytic.com, and talking now about Canada's decision to permit and to strike down any sort of laws against physician-assisted suicide. You make a great point in your blog, and it really is a call to Canadian physicians that they're really, in many ways, the ball's in their court.
Right. I mean, poll after poll shows that most doctors oppose physician-assisted suicide, or as I've mentioned it on here, it's more like doctor-prescribed suicide, but they oppose it because, you know, a physician's job, a doctor's job is to heal and not kill. And while assisted suicide has been, in euthanasia has been kind of permitted it as a relieving of suffering, so in many ways, though, you are treating people, death is never medicine, no matter how permanent the diagnosis or how much pain the patient's in. You know, killing is not a cure. And so we really do need doctors. The doctors who really are opposed to this need to stand up and, as I put it, they need to take back medicine, because this is not medicine. And if we had a bunch of doctors willing to do that, I would hope that would make some difference.
Yeah, it always seems to be the case, Chelsea. You know, people complain about mixing religion and politics. More often than not, the danger is not religion imposing upon politics; it's politics imposing upon religion. And I guess you could say the same thing about medicine, right?
It's exactly
the problem is politics imposing moral values upon medicine, upon doctors who I think still swear the Hippocratic Oath. You know, and.
Yeah, well, that's been modified over the years, too. I mean, that's sure. Something I've written about actually before, which I didn't know, is that they don't necessarily all take the Hippocratic Oath anymore. But yeah, it is definitely politics imposing. I mean, there have been papers written about forcing doctors to comply with these things. I mean, that's what, you know, with abortion, we're trying to get conscience laws in. So that doctors can consciously object to that kind of thing. I mean, we're going to start needing that for assisted suicide in euthanasia.
Yeah. Which, unfortunately, in Great Britain, they just recently ruled against these two midwives there. You know, and they have to observe and direct people on abortions. Unbelievable. Chelsea, it's always a pleasure and a privilege, and I really want to encourage people to check out her blog. She's got a couple of really good news stories, too, about a Down syndrome woman who was on a fashion show runway, and also Pope Francis hanging out via Google Hangout with children with disabilities. Pretty cool stuff.
That was fun. It was really cute, the Pope Francis thing. It was...
Yeah, I love some of that imagery of him on camera. He's got the funniest smile on his face.
Yeah, it's very nice.
What a delight. Well, Chelsea, blessings to you, and try to hunker down during that cold Florida winter, okay?
Yeah, we're trying. We're trying to keep warm, but I guess some places have it a little bit worse than us, so.
Absolutely. Well, I'll get back to you maybe in July when it's a little less hot and muggy here. Anyway, seriously, I appreciate you taking time to be with us, getting up early, and we'll talk to you next month, okay?
Will do, Mike.
All right, blessings, and bye-bye.
Bye.